call to order the 2021 budget hearing. I'd like to turn it over to Mr. McWhorter.
Yes, that's my show today, I guess.
Yes, it is.
So 2021 budget. It's hard to believe it's 2021 already. Time has flown by. So with the budget hearing process, it's changed over the years, but the concept is still basically the same. We want to approve the maximum levies and rates and for the school corporation. We always advertise our things high, and then once actual numbers are known and the DLGF, Department of Local Government Finance, gets this exact assessed valuation and all that, then they come in low. And in the presentation here, I'll show where we advertise high and where the numbers have come in lower. But we want to be clear with everybody. Also part of the budget process is we have a bus replacement plan and a capital projects plan, which we'll go over here in a second. And then we have the overall budget as a whole. So the first thing I thought we would go, we'd go through the bus replacement plan, then we'd go through the capital project plan, then we'd go through the overall budget, and then ask if there's any questions or comments from anybody, and then go from there. So the bus replacement plan, it's changed. It used to be a 12-year plan. Now it's a 5-year plan. But you can't replace any bus that's less than 12 years old unless you have a specific reason. We have nine buses to be replaced as part of the 2021 plan. We have a total of 99 buses. So two new buses are being added, as opposed to not replacement, but actually new. If you recall, I believe it was last year, we did a bus replacement transportation appeal, in which due to our enrollment growth, we added the fact that we were going to add two buses a year to handle and increase students. And so at this point, for this school year, we're up approximately 240 students compared to last year. We're in the process of finalizing that official ADM count, but we'll be within five of that. And it's, to my knowledge, I think we're the only school corporation in Marion County that is up. I think there's some school corporations that are down as much as 400. But we, as people live here and know, are still in a growth mode, and I'm still tracking over 1,500 housing starts, and don't see it slowing down anytime. I truly believe if the COVID hadn't been going on, we'd be way well over 300 at this point. But anyway, back to the bus replacement. Those nine buses come to about $1.3 million. Used to be a separate bus replacement fund, but now the state has combined the bus replacement and capital projects into the operations fund. And so that's bus replacement plan is part of the operations fund now. But because of our property tax caps, even though we're asking for 1.3, in reality, we're only going to get about 1 million in funding. So we're constantly trying to find ways to catch up from that shortfall. And as you recall, last year we ordered some buses. We used bond money to do that, to kind of catch up. So of our 99 buses, we've replaced 34 of them in the last 3 years. Okay, so to try to catch that up. But we still have 28 buses that are still over 12 years old at this point. And so the good news is we'll replace nine of those 28, and then hopefully over the next 3 years, we will have caught that back up to our regular schedule.
So of those 28 that are over 12 years, are they like 15 and 18 years old? Or
They're 13, 14 years old, okay. Yeah.
But by the time we get to them, they'll
right,
be
and those and they're safe. Don't get me wrong.
But they're passing inspections.
In fact, so any bus that's over is it 10 years old or 12 years old? 12 has to have two inspections a year, and so we have an excellent mechanic area that maintains our buses as well. And so, and I believe we've had 100% passing.
Fred, excuse me, does the state still inspect them every year?
Yes, every year, except the ones that are over 12 years old, they get inspected twice a year.
Twice a year.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Tyler, you can go to the next one, please. it's on our website. It's also there. It's a listing of the number of buses that we'll replace. We have the nine that we plan to replace this current year. similar numbers in future years in the next one. So, any questions at this point just on the bus replacement plan? It's just, it's a simple plan. It's we have so many buses, we have to replace them ever so often. And
so once we get caught up, how many buses will we be replacing in a normal year after we're caught up?
Well, 99 divided by 12. So 7 to...
Because once we're caught up, they'll still be in that rotation then or whatever.
Correct.
Or...
Now, even though I don't put this. The buses aren't... We didn't buy them all at the same time, or we didn't space them out where we bought 7 this year, 7 that year. So some of them were bought in chunks, okay? And so what you have to do is you still plan like you're going to replace those 7 or 9 buses that year. But even though you say you only have 6 buses that are 12 years old, you still account for that, hey, I need to replace 9. But you take that money for those you replace the 6, that 3 extra, you keep that in your cash balance so the next year the cash is there so that you can replace it when they do reach 12 years old. So you don't have the spikes up and down in a tax rate. And that's how the 12-year plan used to be, is you had to show your future allocations for buses as you went along. So it's the same premise here. The thing about with the property tax caps is we have 9 on there. The likelihood of us replacing all 9 is probably going to be more 7, like 7 or 8. It's just going to depend, which is why we will come back later at some point and say, hey, we need to catch this plan up with using some of our GO money. So. Capital projects plan, again, it's now part of the operations fund. It used to be a separate fund. So now, this is last year was the first year, now this year, it's a plan where we have to list assets or projects that are over $10,000. And I actually list more than what we really are required to, just because I think we should. For example, an individual computer, you know, isn't $10,000, okay? But if you order one for the entire staff, for each staff member, you maybe spend $200,000 in computers. Well, technically, under the rules of the plan, you wouldn't have to list it because each individual item was less than $10,000. But I go ahead and list, say, hey, we're going to spend $200,000 on computers, just so that the public and the board knows that that we have that type of expenditure coming up. So the operations plan is levy capped, so we should get about $14.1 million it says levy cap capital, but it's really operations fund in total. The next page. So capital expenditures. So this is what I meant. So we have some maintenance vehicle replacements. We have a couple maintenance vehicles we need to replace. Transportation, one of the maintenance truck that goes out services the buses when they break down. We have some roof inspections due. We've got student computers, staff computers, software licenses, internet connectivity, projector replacements. We got some playground equipment repairs. Got a writing auto scrubber. Who would have thought those things cost $11,000, but they do. Some copier replacements, transportation, Kubota for their parking lot. We got fire and safety panel replacements and repairs to do. One of the things that changed was the safety with the timing of fire alarms and having 3-minute delays and be able to program that for, is it a real fire alarm or is it really someone trying to, an intruder trying to pull a fire alarm? So we have programming issues. We've got a program for that. Motor and pump replacements, air handler unit, chillers, boilers, paving. We can spend $5 million on paving. Then we have some mowers, maintenance. Go to the next page. Those list of items are similar as we look at the 2022 and the 2023 budgets. So really the projects is really kind of more unique things that are larger type things. So some of the projects that we need to do And it's kind of spread around. So at Arlington, lighting controls need to be addressed. C-Tech ductwork here actually in this building needs to be addressed. We have a chiller replacement at the high school, $250,000. We replaced one actually recently just this year. And so if you go back in the high school, I believe there's four or five of them sitting back there. So so another one needs to be replaced. Boiler replacements, HVAC, Thompson Crossing air conditioning units, some variable frequency drives, infrared heating bay in their transportation system, some fan replacements, Bunker Hill roof. He's like, hey, didn't we just renovate Bunker Hill?
Yes, I was going to ask you, Bunker Hill roof.
Yeah, so he's like, yes, we did. We did a lot of work at Bunker Hill a couple years ago, but they didn't do the roof, all the roof. And so why? It's because they didn't need to spend the money at that time. It still had some useful years of life in it. And so now the rest of that roof needs to be replaced. For example, at the high school, there's 72 different roof sections at the high school. And so as we get into this plan here, so we won't replace all 72 roof sections at the same time. It's just,
thank God,
not necessarily. This building needs its roof. And then if you've ever been at Kittley, carpet replacements at that particular building. So the next one. In 2022, it's kind of a rehash of what we talked about, what we're doing 221. These type of things happen essentially on an annual basis. Just like you have replacements for your buses, we have replacements for our vehicles and our equipments and our mowers and our things that need to be replaced on an annual basis. Next page. The 2022 capital projects, it gets into, so Thompson Crossing roof section replacement. So it's not the entire roof, but part of the roof at Thompson Crossing. Some air handler unit issues at Arlington. Some the learning center air handler controls, boilers at the high school, not all of them, but a couple of them. We have AC unit replacements. Then we got Kittley maintenance controller replacements. We have some air conditioners in the IDF room, which is the computer room at Thompson Crossing. Transportation HVAC zone controls. So those are helpful on our energy savings. Make sure that those are zeroed in. Then you see the high big section for high school section roof replacements, actor chiller replacement, South Creek cafeteria wall repair. If you've been in South Creek from the bottom up, it has some issues. And then at the next door at the Franklin Township Learning Center, the boiler room. We did some water. Hot water things this past year, so that'll take care of the heating part over there next door. Next one. So then 2023, again, kind of the rehash of the different types of typical maintenance things that we replace on an annual basis. Then the 2023 capital projects, a little bit smaller. As far as number, but dollar-wise, it's not. Got Edgewood, intermediate boiler replacements. Again, it's not like replacing your heater at your house. You know, it might take $5,000 to replace your heater at your house. Well, when you have a couple hundred thousand square feet building, it's significantly more.
Question. Back in 2022, I believe, we were spending $500,000. At the high school?
On the roof.
On the roof.
And here's another 1.5. That's why I was saying it earlier. It's like 72 different roof sections. And so we, in our part of our facility study that we did, we have it all mapped out as to what sections need to be replaced when.
But a year later, wouldn't we get a better buy trying to get a package of just doing it, be done?
You might, but you don't necessarily have the money to do it all at once. That's the issue. And so so we have to spread it out over time. Okay. And if you can get another year use out of it, you know, that's a good thing too. Okay. In reality, will we end up doing that 1.5 in 2023? Honestly, probably not. We'll probably end up having a referendum at some point and then combining that into some sort of referendum for the high school. Because about that time, the high school is going to be approaching 50 years old. And so not – will it make sense to replace the roof and then turn around and have to rip out the guts of the center of that section where all the plumbing and electrical and all that and the core of that building is 50 years old. And so do we need to reconfigure any of the spaces to make it more efficient with the programming there, for example, with the orchestra, for example, or so that's something. It's a 3-year plan, and that's what we're presenting. In reality, the first year is the plan. That's the important part, and the other years can and will change, and they have changed based on the need at the time as we move forward. So, next page. We already talked about the geobond reimbursements. We got LED lighting, some cost of issuance cost. Go to the next page. So that's essentially capital projects that we have planned coming over for this year. Let's go to the next one.
Very disappointed that there's not some kind of feel-good improvement that the whole community is going to see and be excited about.
Well,
boilers and chillers.
Yeah, it's not sexy. You don't. The things. A lot of the expensive stuff is the stuff that people don't necessarily see, like the heat. You know, the same with your own house. When you replace your heater or air conditioner, you know, it's not the same as replacing your carpet. You know, you see that. But
that's true. The carpet at Kittley, that will be very noticeable.
Yes.
So, good point.
But the roofs, people really don't recognize. But you notice it if it starts leaking and you got pots sitting on your, you know, and you will notice it if the air conditioner or chiller's not working. And you will notice that
the
heat's not working.
We had that a few years ago.
So our facilities department does a really good job of maintaining what we have. And so we're trying to prioritize the best bang for the buck for the district, as well as what, from an energy efficiency standpoint, what can we do to save money, which is why we've done a lot of LED lighting and energy projects over the past year. And I think at the next board meeting, I think Rick and Jody may bring some information on rebates and things that we've gotten over the past year, which is I won't steal their thunder till next month. So this is our Form 3, basically our levy in our budgets that we have set. So the current levy, which is that 5th column over, is $40.7 million. That's what our current approved levy is. We're asking for 41.6, so that's a 2.1% increase. And so those numbers include the debt that we talked about earlier. And so when we talk about rate, is because the levy is only going up 2.1, but the assessed valuation is going up over 10, that's going to drive the rate down. So the tax rate should drop, all things being equal, to the taxpayers. Next one. So essentially the funds that we have to deal with are the education fund, which is our instructional, what we pay teachers, primarily focused. It's funded by essentially students. So the money follows the students. That's been a common theme the legislature has had. We expect about a 2%, but really don't know as we move forward, you know, how the pandemic and we know that our enrollment's increasing, and we anticipate that to continue, and our trend has shown that. But school funding in general, I think, could be really it'll be a really hot topic coming this next school year. Of course, then we have our debt service fund that we list, and then we have our operations fund. And so the two with tax rates are the debt service fund and the operations fund. The education fund is funded primarily by the state. And then the rainy day fund is funded by transfers that we make to it from the other funds. But we still need to budget all. So education fund, $69.5 million. Debt service of $22.6 million. Operations, $31.5 million. Rainy day, $4 million. Again, those are maximums. Those will be reduced according to the DLGF once they get their final numbers. Go to the next page. As far as our tax rate history, kind of, I've been here since 2017. I started in, August 1st to 17. So the 17 rate was already set before I got here. But so we advertised high. CU 230 came in at 176. So in the 18 budget, we advertised essentially 252 rate, comes in 155. 19 and 180 rate comes in 146. And 20 rate, 182 rate comes in 151. This rate that we're essentially the equivalent is a 154 rate, which we expected to come in at 146 to 152. So essentially, it should be equal to or lower than what our current rate is, with all things being equal. And that's kind of driven by our assessed evaluation. And when I say assessed evaluation, it's kind of what's the value of our community. So you got to kind of look back at our history. So in 2008, we had assessed valuation in our community of $2.245 million. Well, in 2009, those have been around, you know, recession starts to hit. That kind of peaks. And then over this next couple years, the assessed valuation actually went down from $2.2 billion, dropped to a low of $1.7 billion in 2013. I think at one point, Franklin Township led the nation in number of housing foreclosures, I believe, because of how bad the economy was at the time. But over the last 10 years, things have, you know, taken a turn for the good. And you can see basically about 2018, we were back up to the $2.2 billion. 2019 went up again, 2020 went up again, and then 2021, this is where we're seeing the big 10.3% increase. So assessed valuation has really gone up, almost, or 40-some percent in the last 5-6 years. So, which then helps drive down rate, which helps the circuit breaker. So when I talk about circuit breaker, various properties are capped at what they can be taxed. So residential homes are capped at 1%. So if you have a $100,000 house, the most you're going to pay in taxes, property taxes, is $1,000. Farmland, rental property, it's capped at 2%. And then commercial, industrial, it's capped at 3%. Because our tax rate is combined with the city-county, it makes the total tax rate within Franklin Township a little over $3. Well, a $3 rate is essentially 3%. Well, you're, on a house, remember, you're only capped at 1. So you may be billing for 3, but you're only going to collect at 1. So that 2% you're not collecting is a credit, essentially, which is good for the taxpayer because they get the credit, they don't have to pay it, but not so good for governmental units who rely on that revenue for income. So over the past 10 years or so, we've lost essentially $100 million worth of property taxes that we didn't collect because they were above that cap. And so you may have heard other communities have passed referendums in order to address some of these revenue shortfalls. And so I believe we are the only community in Marion County that has not passed a referendum at some point. So with a straight face, I can say that we have the lowest residential tax bill in all of Marion County. And how do I know that? Well, because our tax bill, our tax rate's over $3, which means your residential house is capped at 1%. Anywhere else, you're paying, if you took that house and moved it anywhere else in Marion County, you'd be paying 1% plus a referendum rate. So we truly have the lowest tax bill in Marion County, and will continue in 2021 under this budget as well. So as far as that goes, unprecedented growth. You know, we have land to build on. We have one of the highest rated schools, if not the highest rated township school, actually, in Marion County, that combined with the low property taxes, that's why we're seeing all the growth that we're seeing, is because you can move here, get more house for your money, and great, you get the better school corporation as a bonus. So why wouldn't you? So our goal, this year we're still on track to have a balanced budget for 2020. Our goal is to have a balanced budget for 2021 with our revenues versus expenses. Enrollment's going to be driving factor. When I did the PowerPoint, we were up 220. We're now up to about 240. again, enrollment will kind of drive kind of revenue. So if our enrollment fluctuates or drops, that'll affect our revenue. But in the near term, I don't see that changing much. Debt service, again, it's approved by the DLGF. We talked about issuing the GO bonds here. We have some debt opportunities in the future that we can do. Whereas we did a refi here this past year, we have an opportunity in 2023 and 2024 to call some bonds in and do some more refis. Hopefully the tax rate or the rates are low then. And then, as always, we'll still have to deal with the circuit breaker tax caps. So to kind of put it in perspective is even if we had no debt whatsoever, we would still have a circuit breaker impact because our tax rate is combined with the city as far as the total rate goes. So in summary, we expect to have a stable tax rate in 2021. In fact, I really think we could see a slight decrease in the total rate because the assessed valuation is going up so much more than our levy. The rates and levies are capped by the DLGF. Local control really has eroded. We've basically come to the process of advertising for maximums. Enrollment will continue to be a major factor in funding. Circuit breakers can be a continuing factor for operations. And when I say operations, I mean instruction, not necessarily operations as well. I mean the operations of the whole school corporation because operations includes paying teachers and paying aides and having low class sizes and not just paying custodians and paying the utility bill and all that.
And programs, too.
And so.
And programs, too.
And programs, correct. Right. So REACH programs and EL programs and special ed programs and such. And just kind of honestly, I've talked about this since I've been here. At some point in time, we will be going for a referendum at some point. So I would say it's likely that in November of 2021 or May of 2022 that we'll probably be recommending that we try for one in the future. But before we do that, we need to still get some more information out to the public to set our reasoning and financial reasons as to why we need to do that. Is that it?
Actually, it was for community outreach. Yeah. Just tell the good story that's going on.
Yeah. That, and then we also plan to, in addition to that, we plan to have...
it's called an e-newsletter.
Yeah, e-newsletter coming out, as well as additional mailers and things like that as well. So we can start having those discussions as well. Any questions, comments from the public at this point? Or
we'll now open the budget hearing to public comment. Again, no one has signed up, but I'll still allow you to come forward if you just want to state your name and address for the record. I see no public comment, Fred.
Okay. It really is. It's really good news. I mean, tax rate should be remaining stable. It's opportunity for us to get some additional funds. The issue that we've had and that this board has known about is in 2022, not 2021, in 2022 we have the debt increment going away, and so which that's going to create some issues as to do we go forward with an operating referendum replace that revenue stream, or do we continue a rotating GO bond strategy. Which is what we've started to do right now. So 2022 will be tighter than 2021, but at this point we believe 2021 will be fine, provided the legislature doesn't have any cuts to the existing programs.
Great. good. Thank you, Fred. We will adjourn the budget hearing at 6:46 p.m. And now we'll call to order